I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, everyone. Jeremy here from Sick Boy Podcast. And a little quick little announcement. I have to apologize. A little glitch on our end. This past Monday... this past Wednesday, Hump Day, the day that I normally would post an episode of the other podcast that I host with my wife, Bridie, we had posted an episode of Turn Me On, but I accidentally posted it to Sick Boy's feed. And there was a good couple of thousand of you that automatically had it downloaded, which, you know what, is a very nice thing to see, because that means that you're subscribed and that you've got your downloads turned on. But you would have probably quickly realized that it was just Bridie and myself and a lot of talking about sex. So you accidentally downloaded an episode of Turn Me On podcast if you have that in your library of podcasts. So I want to just a quick apology for any confusion. But hey, here's a great time to shamelessly plug Turn Me On podcast that Bridie and I host. We're currently on tour right now in Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal, and having a lovely time. So if you've never heard of it and you accidentally downloaded it, give it a listen, or head on over to Turn Me On podcast and download it and listen there. We're really excited to bring you this week's episode. It is from our live show that we held here in Halifax, the biggest live show we have ever done. There was almost 350 of you that showed up, and it was such an incredible time. Thank you so much to Cineplex for allowing us to use the space. Thank you so much to the city of Halifax for all of the insane amount of love that you have given us over the years. And we had a bitchin' time. This was a really, really fun show. We hope you enjoy it. And in terms of live shows coming up, we've got some dates that are in the works. So stay tuned. We'll come at you soon with some live dates for a few different spots around the world. So stay tuned, and I hope you enjoy this as much as we did. See you on the other side. Let's move on with the show here. Let's give a huge Halifax Cineplex round of applause for our guest tonight, Kylie. Woo!
Hi. This is working. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, I think we can hear you. So Kylie, I'm really excited about this conversation because this is when we first did the show, the second conversation that we ever record, the second conversation we ever put out was the third conversation we recorded, which was our friend Matt Amiot.
I'm following.
And the second recording that we ever did though, which ended up being our third, are you following me? our third episode was an episode with our friend Matt Slaney, and he has diabetes. And this is the first time we've touched diabetes, I think, since that 3 years ago.
Still pissed you didn't choose me first, but I'll...
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I think you're gonna kind of like set the bar here because
maybe she's here to sabotage the whole thing.
Yeah. Well,
in spite.
I know that you had a bit of a... You have diabetes. What kind of diabetes do you have?
Good question. So I have type 1 diabetes. Do you know what that is, Jeremy?
I know that there's two types.
False. That's a huge false.
Whoa, really?
Whoops. Well, actually, that is kind of false because there's CF-related diabetes as well.
No, Jer, you're still, like, very false here.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Way far off?
Well, not way far off, but, I mean, there's three main types, or, like, most popular types of diabetes, and then there's other, like you say, like, CF-related diabetes. So type 1 is the type that I have, so that's autoimmune. So there's no rhyme or reason. It's not because I ate too much candy. We don't know. It's an autoimmune disease.
Is it genetic?
No, they've looked at some links between genetics, but it's not, no.
Okay, all right, I'm with you so
okay.
far.
Type 2, which is the...
I don't want to
be wrong.
Type 2 is too much of this.
No, what? Stop it. You're pushing the stigma.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so type 2...
This is horrible.
I know, should I not educate?
No, educate.
So type 2 is actually 90% of kind of the diabetes population. Type 1, which I have, is only 10%. Mm-hmm. So the 90% with
then
type...
Then that's only two types. 90% plus 10%
okay, and then
is 100%.
Okay.
Where's the third
Sorry,
type?
So I was going to say the other fuckers don't get as much attention.
Stigma.
So there's kind of like a... Okay, fuck.
Yeah, we got you.
You got me. Okay, yeah. You got me. I'm the expert, though.
You can't be wrong on this podcast.
Yeah, okay. Awkward. So type 2 is there's some, you know, genetic links, but it can also be attributed to lifestyle. So that's kind of where you hear the very horrible jokes about overeating and stuff, which actually, you know, doesn't help, but it can attribute to, you know, lifestyle choices and stuff. But there is another kind of third popular one, which is gestational diabetes. So about 20% of women who are pregnant can end up getting diabetes.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
does that last forever?
No, it doesn't if you have gestational, no.
Yes, I knew that too, yeah. I was going to say, it can be temporary, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was a thing, so I get 0 points.
0 points.
Yeah.
Okay, now, here, I'm going to make a little link here. This is,
okay.
Follow me.
Yeah.
Now, gestational diabetes, is it similar to a pregnant woman with herpes, where if she gives birth to her baby, the baby can get herpes? Now, if you have gestational diabetes and you give birth to a baby, does the baby have diabetes?
Like, we should actually play a game, like, how long does it take, Jer, to mention herpes? Like, literally any time I'm having a conversation, he's like, herpes, herpes, herpes. And I'm like, oh, okay.
And then he's like, here, I got this sweet
go.
Game that we can play.
I know.
Just
herpes.
One second, I got the photos on my phone.
Yeah, he's like, I've been waiting
what
for
do you
this.
Think this
live
is?
Show, herpes.
It's because I'm terrified I'm going to get it, and I want to destigmatize it for myself as much as I can before I do, so that when I do, I'm like, eh, it's not that bad.
Well, we can talk about that, maybe, because I might have some... experience.
You have, yeah. I
with
will,
the herbs?
I get, yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay,
we'll get
cool,
to that.
cool.
But can you give your baby gestational diabetes?
When you have gestational diabetes, there's a higher chance that your child, I think, can get diabetes maybe, but it's not. You don't have to worry.
You're not, okay. you're not a high risk.
I think we might
it.
Understand this better if you just explain to us what diabetes is and like how it affects the body.
Okay, well, I can kind of...
Touché, Brian.
Cool, so... I will say that I ain't a doctor at all, and so my science terms might not be up to par. I'm sure there's a lot of people here that can,
know,
you know,
shh. They're really aggressive.
It's my show, yeah.
Really aggressive chairs.
So with my type 1 diabetes, it's basically my immune system started attacking my pancreas and killing the beta cells. So when I was 8 years old, I was diagnosed.
I'm sorry, beta cells?
I looked it up, and yeah, you... beta cells.
Okay.
And you're not a doctor.
No, but Wikipedia has lots of info. Okay. I was actually kind of nervous today that I was Googling diabetes, and I've had it for 20 years, and I was like, diabetes. And I was like, fuck.
You've never known anything about your
yeah,
diabetes.
Yeah, I was like, pants.
The
I was
whole
like,
time, and then someone's like, can you come on and talk
yeah.
about it? And you're like,
I was like,
shit.
Sipping my Ativan in my cup, mixing it a little, and like, Googling as well. And I was like, okay, no, you've got this. You got
now,
this.
Now, Ativan,
like,
is that for diabetes, or do you just.
Oh, yeah, straight diabetes, right to the pancreas. I wish. That'd be a lot easier, I think, if I could just take Ativan for my
so
diabetes.
So what does that mean, beta cells? Because my pancreas is fucked, too. Like, my pancreas just goes, I just don't give you the enzymes you need.
Right. So your pancreas does a lot of different jobs. So I think... So the pancreas, basically everyone here needs insulin to transform the sugar that you have, the carbohydrates that you have into energy. So that's how, you know, you eat something, your pancreas, you have the insulin, and then, you know, you go on with your day. Me, someone who has type 1 diabetes, doesn't get any insulin anymore. So my beta cells totally don't work.
Right.
I don't have any insulin in my body, and that's why I need to take it in some other way. So I wear a fancy insulin pump, also known as my pager.
Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah, what's the deal with that? I mean, it's 2019.
Nah, you're wondering about sex with this bad boy, aren't you?
I wasn't, but now I am.
Yeah, now you are. Yeah.
Are we going there already, guys? No. This is happening really fast.
I just know what Jeremy's thinking. So yeah, it's like,
I saw that and I went, is that herpes?
Yeah, he was like, what is that?
She's got herpes, I think.
I'm just pulling it out there now for more content for later for you guys.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine in elementary school, yeah, and like that was my introduction to diabetes. Mm. Like, she got an insulin pump, and it was like huge news in the school because this young girl got an insulin pump, and it was like the 90s. So I guess that was really cool. But
yeah,
it's basically an iPhone attached to your hip.
But why is it, like, what makes an insulin pump better or different than just pricking your finger with needles all the time? I guess that kind of explains it, no?
Two different things. First, pricking your finger is, you need to do that to manage your diabetes. So it's testing your blood sugar. So if you remember on the podcast with Matt,
yes,
he was saying when he was like, he first tested his blood and it was like 14, and then he waited the day and it was like 26 after the Big Mac or something like that. So that's testing your blood. But then so you have to do that because what your blood sugar is depends on how much you need to eat or how much insulin you need to take.
Like someone like Brian, who I'm assuming you don't have diabetes so far.
I don't think.
But if you ate like a normal meal that Brian would eat, which is like probably just like a kale salad with nothing on it.
Nice, yeah. I actually saw you at Pete's today, some smoothie.
If you had that, and okay, let's, all right, fine, we'll fucking have a smoothie. So we had a smoothie with like some peanut butter and maybe
sweet potato or like chicken breast,
sweet potato peanut butter smoothie, great. So if he had normally have, and then tested his blood sugar, which we're guessing is normal because he doesn't have diabetes.
He's normal. I'm fine.
Right. So what would that number be?
Got him right here.
I said I'm fucked. You're normal.
Okay. Cool.
So usually people who don't have, say, type 1 diabetes, their blood sugar is in the range of like 4.0 millimoles till 8.0 millimoles, and might spike a tiny bit
after
8.
That's your blood sugar.
Blood glucose level. Yeah. So that's measuring your blood sugar.
If you tested yours right now, what do you think you'd come out at? Oh, can you just look at your fucking watch? What?
Oh, no.
See? I'm so sorry.
You just looked at your Apple Watch and you can tell?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's cool.
You seem slightly ashamed of that. That's fucking awesome.
So it's cool. But, I mean, a thing that I usually say when I'm doing this is grew up in a privileged environment where I can afford this kind of technology.
Sure.
Managing diabetes, chronic illness is so expensive, right? So I've been very privileged, I guess, to be able to afford some of the, even the insulin pump. So an insulin pump, see, fuckers are going to run after me and try to take this off me, is $10,000.
Story. $10,000? Yeah.
Story. So Panic in the Disco is apparently popular again. I heard them on the radio. In grade 10, I went to a Panic at the Disco concert. Someone stole my insulin pump off me, and I lost it. And that was, like, the saddest. So Panic at the Disco kind of has, like, a weird thing with me now.
I don't know if I believe that story.
It's real.
I never believe people when they get pickpocketed. Like, how wouldn't you feel somebody, like, taking something off your person?
Sorry, you can't just throw the diabetic under the bus like this.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you sold it.
I fucking wish I was. I wish I was that smart.
Or she
Jesus.
Lost it.
No, oh my God. Anyone?
But wait, would you say that you lost it, or would you rather have $10,000 for stolen?
I would definitely say it was stolen.
Yeah, I mean, $10,000, when you said
that. Cell phones were cool. The Motorola and stuff, someone obviously thought it was like a cool cell phone pager.
Yeah, and then they were like, I'm going to sell this for $100 on Kijiji. And then someone went, that's worth $10,000. And they went, wow, fuck
like,
the Motorola Razr.
And then the insulin within it, they were like, whoa, like insulin's like the third most expensive liquid in the world. In this bad boy.
What?
That's crazy.
What's number one and two?
I don't know, but Google might.
I'm
going to Google it.
Yeah, well, we had a friend. I had a couple friends growing up that had an insulin pump, and it was like there was something in Nova Scotia specifically where like some shit changed, and then all of a sudden like something that was covered wasn't covered anymore, and it was really hard for them because they were going to not be able to have. Maybe they needed an updated pump or something. I can't remember.
was I wrong?
But they weren't going to get it.
Fifth?
Yeah, I got it here. You want to know?
Yeah, but then I want to touch on Taylor Swift.
This is fucking crazy.
Was that kind of right?
What do you, like, what does, someone just shouted out, what does someone think the most expensive liquid in the world is?
Liquid diamond.
I'm sorry, what?
Like, what is that?
What is this, a fucking Marvel comic?
Unobtainium.
Somebody else yell out. Botox? Okay. What did I hear over here? I just heard dinosaur sperm.
Someone, yeah, 2019. Definitely.
What else? Blood?
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. What's it with you guys and cum? Liquid herpes.
They listen to Sick Boy.
All right. Are you ready for the top? I got the top eight here. All right. Screw 9 and 10. We'll go eight and down.
Okay.
Eight. Black printer ink.
Whoa, $2,700 a gallon. $2,000 printer ink.
$2,700 a gallon.
Wait, that's why you buy it from Staples. Yeah. Because it's such a fucking ripoff.
We have a printer in my office. It costs $1,200 to refresh the cartridges.
Actually, for real?
For real, okay.
So there you go. How big is the printer? The size of
No, it's not even that big. There's a bigger one, too.
It's like it's a pocket printer.
We don't even use it. It's unplugged.
Number seven. This kind of makes sense. Number seven, mercury. $3,400 per gallon. Number six, insulin.
Okay, so
number
I was close.
Number six, $9,400 per gallon. Per gallon.
The next one's a big jump in value.
It is milk. Just joking. I hope the whole theater heard that snort. That was so endearing. My God, can we mic this girl? Number five. Number five is six. So five is it's not milk. I was joking.
I know.
It's Chanel number five.
Is that why it's called Chanel number five?
Now, insulin, which was $9,400 per gallon, Chanel number five is $26,000 per gallon. All right, here we go. This one is fucking. Why is this on this list? Horseshoe crab blood. $60,000 per gallon.
Radiolab. Yeah. Did you watch that Radiolab episode?
Okay, there we go. Smart stuff. This one, this is interesting. Lysergic acid diethyl, LSD, acid. $123,000 per gallon. Okay, the last two, these are the coolest ones on the list. Number two, King Cobra Venom. $153,000. And then the last one, Scorpion Venom. $39 million per gallon. That's not a typo.
And that's it for the show.
Tonight. Bye. It's my mic.
If you leave here today and say you didn't learn something, you're an idiot.
Thanks,
I think
Jeremy.
I was right in the middle of talking about how friends of ours suffered greatly as a result of diabetes and like health coverage. But fuck that. I'm really glad we did that.
Yeah. But I was gonna say that it's a really good point because I think, like I was saying,
I think your mic cut out, so just yell so everyone can hear you.
Hi. Audio?
Yeah, just okay. Fucking dump
cool.
It yeah, there you go. There you go.
Can we get a bash?
Yeah. Okay. No, that's a huge deal. The coverage for diabetes is different across Canada, which is a huge. I mean, we talk about our healthcare system and you know how it's really complicated about how each province covers things differently. So I've lived in Nova Scotia for about 9 or 10 years now, but I grew up in Guelph, Ontario, and they have way better coverage for people living with diabetes. So you can through the government get an insulin pump till any age. It's you know it's covered for you. But in Nova Scotia, they're like, fuck, 25, you're done. So after the age of 25, you can't get the insulin pump covered, you can't get the supplies covered. So it's various, you know, provinces are doing different things, but it really puts you in a tough situation.
Wait, what if you have it before you're 25 and then you turn 25, like, do they just stop covering it or?
Yeah. Like they don't pay for your, so when I was at 25 here, I would get coverage like for my insulin pump supplies. So it's like the Nova Scotia insulin pump program. And then after 25, you're cut off. So you're paying for your supplies. It's extremely expensive. I mean, not only the things like your insulin pump sites, the blood glucose tests, the tester, the strips, everything, but it's wild to the cost you don't even think of. So when my blood sugar goes low, you know, I need to have I have juice on hand with me all the time, or like these big things that look like rockets.
Your Skittles.
My Skittles,
like,
yeah,
through the roof.
Right, yeah. Like,
do you
all
actually
those
just
things.
Do you eat garbage sugar, or do you have like good, healthy, like hospital grade sugar?
Oh fuck no! I'm like, this is my chance to gummy okay. bears.
Do you
whatever.
Ever have like do you ever have like a friend who you play what paddling or some sport, and they just they had diabetes, and they just always had like. They just always had like bags
candy.
Of Skittles and candy yeah. and stuff around yeah. because like
you should try cane sugar
when you're working out.
Like
cane sugar, it's better for you.
Brian, okay. Brian, you should try kale sugar.
Yeah, I was like, that doesn't sound
yeah,
so
sugar.
Like that sounds really
yeah, you just
interesting.
You just have to yeah, like emulsify the kale in a pan and
yeah.
then you just take it.
Cool. Super
it
excited.
How many people by a round of applause in here tonight? So it's I think we have 336 seats filled. How many people have diabetes?
Whoa!
Yay!
They're also just so weak as well.
I do.
No, we are the strongest.
Someone give me candy. Yeah, they're also.
He's, woo!
They're also
Eddie.
90 years old.
Yeah. Eddie has it.
Eddie has Eddie. Diabetes. But he doesn't right. have a pump.
So Who's when there? Did you? You have type one.
Yeah.
So so what we've covered so far is there's multiple different types. Type 1, 2, 3, CFRD, there's a bunch of different
right
types.
Right on, yeah.
Now, you have type 1.
Yeah.
When did you find out that you had diabetes?
When I was 8 years old. So I can remember a lot of people around me thought I just had like bladder infections. So what happens is you're not getting any insulin, right? Your pancreas is slowly everything's stopping. So my blood sugar was getting kind of like higher and higher each day type of thing. So when your blood's high, you're kind of like dry mouth, you're thirsty. So you're drinking a lot more water, liquids or whatever, and then you're peeing a lot more. So as an 8 year old, people just thought I was like pissing all the time. I don't know. Just like having issues.
Kids piss a lot though.
Yeah, kids
too.
Piss a lot too, right? And I yeah. and so
do they? Do you know that?
Look, man,
yeah,
I've got
like
yeah,
finger.
I do know that. Yeah. I used to host a kids show.
Yeah,
and
but there's
no
kids
were
there
just kids on
in
show?
There all the time pissing. Yeah. I'm like, guys. No, I've got nephews, dude.
Yeah.
Quick okay. little story, quick little side story,
herpes.
And this actually makes a lot of sense for this show in particular. I have 2 8-year-old nephews. You just said you were 8 when you found out. And we went to the movie the other day, and I took him to the movie, and okay. I was a bad uncle. I took a little too much THC oil before the movie, so I was with another adult, don't worry, and she was sober. And so we were watching the movie, and I was like, we gotta go, the movie's done, we're gonna leave. And I have to pee so bad, and I'm kind of going like I want to make sure that the boys pee, because like in my head I'm going you like be an adult, make sure they pee too, because they're kids. Kids need to pee, feed them and let them pee. So I say to the boys, I'm like, do you guys gotta pee? And one, you know, they're twins, and they're both like, yeah, we gotta pee. So we go to the bathroom, and it's super busy, like Friday night movies, so many people. And I get a little bit of stage fright just standing at a urinal with someone standing next to me, right? So, and I think there's probably some people who stand at urinals who could also agree that, like, when you have someone right next to you, sometimes it's a little hard to get the pee up. So I don't know if these kids know how to use a urinal. I don't know. I'm like, you
and
know.
And you're too high to ask.
I'm so silent. And I'm just going, I just look at them and I go, okay, I'm going to like head to the urinal and just look at them and be like, and of course they come over to the urinal and I start to realize, yeah, you know what? They can do it too. But it's so funny. They're in their fucking like snowsuits. They both just lift up their jacket, drop their pants to their ankles, let their little birds dangle out. They're flanking me. One's here. And I'm like just seeing all this out of the corner of my eyes. And they're not holding it. They're just like this. And then they're both just going, looking right at my penis. And you know, like when you're too high and you're in your head and you're just like talking to yourself, I'm just going, there's no way. There's no way I'm peeing. And also, everyone's looking at me, and they're probably going, what's wrong with this adult? Like,
and it was at that moment that Jeremy yeah. realized he has diabetes.
Yeah, actually, well, that we'll get to that. So you found out when you were 8.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
How quick did your parents put you into diabetes camp?
That is totally a thing.
It is
well,
a thing.
Yeah, so Diabetes camp is a thing. Yes, we all shoot up at the same time. Yes, we all sing insulin songs at the same time.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Goodbye, Humalog. Goodbye, Humalog. Goodbye, Humalog. It's time to see you go. Woo! And then you shoot.
Someone was so uncomfortable. Someone was so uncomfortable with you saying that you shoot up.
Yes, my apologies. It's also a diabetes thing.
But technically you are shooting
insulin.
Insulin. So you're kind of shooting up insulin.
Yeah. Matt, yeah. You're shooting up.
I just wanted to point out the discomfort.
We'll just leave that.
Yeah, so diabetes, my parents, I love diabetes camp. You're with a bunch of other nerds who have type 1 diabetes, and you all swim together and have your insulin pumps. But the shitty thing was, I also have a peanut allergy, so I can't eat peanuts. And so, like, I went
a
to...
penis allergy?
Yeah. We'll get to that later. Okay. And I play with the herpes story a little bit, too. Peanut allergy. So...
got it.
Not only, I went to diabetes camp to, like, feel very normal. I was, I think you could go when you were 10, and I was like, fuck yeah, like, diabetes. So I get there, and they're like, you have a peanut allergy. Like, I was like, yeah. And so what they did is they made me wear this big green fanny pack with my EpiPen and a poker chip that said peanut. Like, a poker chip necklace?
Not even peanuts?
No, peanuts.
Just, it's like, and everyone's like, is your fucking name
yeah,
peanut?
Yeah, I was like...
so you went to basically the one place where they're like
to feel good.
You're with everybody who's like
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Except you're different.
Yeah, except you're so different. And I was also that kid.
And we're gonna let everybody know.
Yeah. Like, and I was also that kid that was anxious about everything. Like, I was so worried about how people saw me, and then the fucking fanny pack and peanut. I was like, this is it. This is me. Then that was...
you'd be like the hippest person at peanut camp. Diabetes camp.
Fanny packs are
fanny
in
packs
now.
Are super in now.
Yeah. Not with your EpiPen, though. You're like, it's not cool.
Yeah, whatever you got.
You can keep your $10,000...
I know.
Did you feel, though, like it was a place where you felt more... like, did you feel like at school and stuff there was that separation or stigma that kind of followed you around because of that and your pump and you're different in that way? And then at the camp it didn't quite feel like that? It made you feel a little bit more integrated?
Yeah, I think sometimes people just think diabetes is like taking your medication and then you're done. And it's so much more than that. Like diabetes, like the day-to-day is absolutely wild. Like you think about the decisions you make in a day, like, am I going to go to the grocery store? What am I going to eat for dinner? And someone with diabetes, the decisions are like 50 more a day and like life-threatening decisions today. Yeah. Like, you know, and so at diabetes camp, it was somewhere where like people were experiencing the same thing. There was medical help all the time. And other than camp, I didn't know many people with diabetes like in elementary school or high school. And that actually caused me like to ignore my disease a lot. Mm. And so, which was not healthy and did not help me. And actually it's turned to like other diseases now, like comorbidity. So diabetes camp played a huge role like in my life. Yeah.
Well, before we get into what's comorbid with your diabetes, what's one of the earliest memories of shit going south? Like of you going, oh, diabetes is not a joke. Like it is, because let me just throw back to that episode with Matt.
Yeah.
When we first recorded it, we were like, this is too funny. Like, this is too silly. Mm-hmm. And because Matt had just come down with diabetes, like, I think
come
Matt
down.
Did.
Come down. He just came down. Down.
He went to Argentina. He went to Argentina. He picked it up there.
He caught it.
Came back.
Yeah.
So, like, he just got it. And we were talking about how he was in, like, the honeymoon phase. And he really just had, I think he had no idea what he was in for.
Yeah.
So what's an example of, like, of your diabetes, you know, really fucking you up?
Yeah. So I think what I found interesting about Matt's experience, and like everyone's experience is valid. That's a great thing about the show, right? It's like valid, you know, everyone can say their experience and stuff. And so I thought it was so interesting hearing Matt's experience of just about a year living with diabetes and me, I'm almost at 20 years and I grew up with it. You guys talked about that on the show, but kind of, you know, living like a childhood disease or, you know.
Like having something since before you can really remember that you remember versus like being an adult and getting something, or being told that you have something now that you have to deal with that completely.
Exactly. Like I don't really like remember before diabetes. Like my life, you know, my life has always revolved around diabetes for me, my family, my friends. So that's kind of how I remember it. I think there was a lot of times in my undergrad, I went to Dalhousie for my undergrad degree, where it should have hit me, where it should have been like, this is where it's going south. Like this is bottom. Like I think there was a lot of times, you know, where maybe I drank too much and I didn't take care of my diabetes as much because I didn't want to burden other people. I was such an anxious person. I was like, I do not. And it's like kind of hard for me to say that I didn't take care of myself. Like it's, you know, in front of healthcare providers, in front of a room full of people, because it's shitty. Like, you know, like, didn't care about myself. It's not that. I was just trying. I was, like, avoiding it.
You were a youth.
I went through the same thing.
Thing.
Yeah. It's hard. Yeah. You know, we talk about the transition period, lack of transition period.
And when you're younger, you feel like you're invincible.
Totally.
So you can't even imagine what it would be like to get really sick. You know?
I used to rip on bongs like it was nothing.
I said that to somebody.
That's fucking crazy.
I said that to somebody yesterday. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, Jeremy used to smoke pot in high school. And they were like, wait, what?
Yeah, like religiously. Yeah. Like it was sorry, mom and dad, it was an issue.
Yeah.
my mom's so pissed right now.
Is this your coming out party? Did she not know?
Yeah, no, she knew. They knew. Okay. They knew. I was high with those kids the other night. My mom and dad were the other adults that I was with.
It's legal now.
Yeah,
it's cool.
But you don't take care of yourself when you're a kid.
Yeah,
you know? You seem to be taking care of yourself now.
I think because it's like you said, there was kind of a moment I had. So I did my master's at Dal in history, and there was a moment I had in my first year of my master's where I was walking down Quinpool, and this is all retold to me. My partner had to I don't remember any of this. So my blood went so low. So it's extremely dangerous when your blood goes so low. You can go into like coma and seizure and stuff.
Oh wait, but I thought it's usually high.
No.
So it's kind of, there's like high, there's high and low.
Okay.
So both are kind of, I don't like good or bad because that's how providers sometimes put it. It's very much a dichotomy, but high over a long, long period of time forever can like, you know, you hear the classic complications like kidney failure and your foot's going to get chopped off and your leg. And, but low, yeah, anyone who has diabetes is laughing because the healthcare providers just fucking drill that into you.
Well, I mean, getting your leg cut off.
Would be shitty. Yes.
I don't want to interrupt you there too, but like, why is it always your foot or your leg? Like, what happens?
Neuropathy. So it's like nerve damage. So like higher blood sugar over time wrecks your nerves.
And the extremities are like they just start dying off.
Yeah,
down
tingling
further away from.
Yeah.
That's if you're talking about like I've got my blood sugar's like 38.
That's like really like. And not in a judgmental way, but you're probably like either extremely ill, like you have a really bad flu, or you have like, Matt mentioned this, diabetes ketoacidosis or DKA. It's basically your body's making nail polish remover in your system. It's like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's not good. But
I wonder how much that's worth.
Yeah. We can chat about that.
I don't know why I assume it comes out of the nipple.
I was going to say like definitely not the nipple, but cool.
You could make good use of that.
Yeah.
Actually, just got
I really hope you get
day.
Diabetes and yeah. get that. Yeah.
So, okay. So,
okay, so that's high.
But low, like low, does it go into the negatives? Because
no. So all the people with diabetes are like, fuck.
Is it like the temperature?
Yeah. No, but it's good. Education. So it's like kind of that under like 4 range. And it gets scary. You know, if your blood's like 3.5, you'll have a couple sugar tablets or like gummy bears or whatever.
Oh, wow.
But what the thing is when you're really low, it's kind of a more immediate like scary thing can happen. So that's what happened to me on Quinpools. Like my blood sugar went extremely low. And that was the beginning of me not being able to feel my low blood sugars anymore. So it's really important that you have like body signals, you know, you kind of get like, I get kind of dizzy if my blood was low or like my eyesight would be off or I'd be talking gibberish, kind of like acting silly. It's like often mistaken for being drunk.
You mean since that?
Or the zombie
I can't
apocalypse.
So I can't feel my low blood sugars anymore. And that's why I wear a continuous glucose monitor. So instead of doing that prick all the time, I wear something. And that's why I can like see it on my watch.
Wait, how long ago was that?
Your pump isn't doing that. It's not
pump's helping. Giving me insulin. That's testing my blood.
Right, so it's separate
two,
devices.
The two different things.
And how long ago did that happen?
Like 4 years ago was the first time. So, and what happened was I actually had a seizure like on Quinpool. So it was like I say, it's not like stubbing your toes, like an extremely traumatic thing that happened. I bit like entirely through my tongue. There was like a gaping hole. Fun fact, then I put way too much freezing cream in the hole and just like...
While you were all fucked up?
Yeah, I think, Mark, yeah. I put like way too much freezing cream
in
there.
Did you put a ring in it?
Not that I know of, but you can ask my partner. I do not know, maybe.
A ring?
Like, yeah, you, there's like huge hole in my tongue.
If
like,
you're going to get your tongue pierced, you might as well just do it with
that kind of ring.
Oh.
I was like, what? Yeah.
Where are we talking
like
about?
Like an engagement ring? What's going on here? Is that when he engaged to you?
Not yet,
quick.
Not yet.
Wait, I'm confused by the story. Take it back.
And so that was the first time where I was like, holy fuck, I could die. Like, I almost, and like, I don't want to die in Quinpool. It's like the worst place. Like, in all of that. Like,
it'd be like a slightly better place now than 4 years ago.
Yeah. But
and
I
like,
was
in
like,
5 years, it'd be like a pretty decent place.
And it
place,
was like
I
outside
think.
Of Wendy's, too. And I was like, fucking Wendy's. Like, I got diagnosed in Burger King. And like, then if I almost died in Wendy's,
the
I was like,
the manager of the Quinpool Wendy's is here right now. Yeah. And he's just like, oh.
Shout out to them. They did call 911, though. Shout out to Wendy's on Quinpool. So. It was like during my master's, which really also fucked me up because then I had a concussion because I fell on my head. So then the like after effect of the concussion and everything. And then after that first kind of like initial seizure, I had a few after because I couldn't feel my low blood sugar anymore. Yeah. So I couldn't tell the signs and signals. Like we didn't know. So that was kind of, I think that.
But what does the pump do then? Doesn't the pump like monitor that for
things,
you? And like
two different things. So pump gives me insulin because my pancreas doesn't work.
But it's not like, what does your app do?
The continuous glucose monitor or CGM, that like tests my blood. So I need to test my blood in order to know what to do with my pump. So we're not.
So they're not linked. Like the tester won't go, hey, insulin pump. We need like we need 33 IBUs of insulin stat. I think that's probably what it says. Like that sounds pretty legit.
You're close.
Thank you.
No,
I've been watching Grey's Anatomy. Yeah,
it's coming in 2020. That's next year's technology.
We're really close. We're like a closed loop system where like all the technology can basically talk to each other. We're like really close. We're basically there. Once again, it's extremely expensive, but
I'm surprised that the pump. I mean, I have no fucking clue about what this like how this works. Yeah. But I'm surprised that the pump doesn't do that. I'm surprised it's not like a two-in-one function.
Yeah, there's like a system now.
Yeah,
that
bro, just press all the buttons on it. Send me a text.
Right?
It looks like an old iPod. Right before iPods came out, like what an MP3 player was.
So when you steal that bad boy, would you steal that bad boy at a Panic at the Disco concert?
I'd steal it now.
Like 06, 05 maybe.
06? Yeah, I'd steal
that
in 06. See?
That's what I'm saying. It looks like an iPod. Apple was like...
This might be very inappropriate, but do you have any of those pokey testy strips right now?
I knew you would ask that.
Can we test our blood sugars?
Are you going to do that?
I'll do it, yeah.
You're really scared of that, though, aren't you?
No. Well, I have a phobia of needles, but it's not like... Is it a fucking needle?
I think it's a big old needle.
You just bleed
Ah, forget it. Well, it's good. Let's move on to the next thing. What are we going to talk about?
I was really excited. Do you want
to
test?
No, who wants to see Jeremy test his blood sugar right now?
You guys got to
do it. Jeremy.
No. We all got to do it. Let's do them first, because I feel like my number's going to be like... bad.
I was at...
Hey, there's no bad or good.
Yeah, remember, Jeremy?
God.
I don't want to be the one to, like, diagnose one of you guys. I was actually at a new
It would
health...
be really not funny, but pretty good for the podcast if one
it
of
would.
Us got diagnosed right
It'd be
right
good for the show.
Spot.
Because was, then we could stop telling people that you have CF. And just do the diabetes
I was at
thing.
A new health clinic once, and so it was, like, a new family doctor, and I'm sitting in the office, and she comes in, and she's like, I've been looking at your files, and I'm really concerned. And this was just like a year ago. And I was like, what? She's like, I think you might have diabetes. And I was like, honey, I've had this shit for so long. She's like, thank God I didn't want to be the one to tell you. And I was like...
I would have been like, no.
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 Is this a clean needle?
No.
No. Yes, it's a clean needle. It's a clean needle, right?
Did we do this with Slaney?
Yeah, how do I do
this?
Come on. Oh, look at that. Oh, my God. No. Jesus. No.
Dude, you scared me.
Oh, I might have it up really high because my fingers are really brittle.
No, that didn't hurt.
Did that actually hurt?
Did that actually hurt like that, Brian? Did that hurt like that bad? No, stop
I forgot.
It.
Like, my fingers are so... like.
Stop it. Are you fucking with me? Did that hurt that bad?
Dude, I don't know if I want
to
do
this. You have to do it.
Okay, so Brian is a perfect 6.4. Round of applause.
It's all that kale.
It's all that kale.
And what are we looking for? 4 to 7 is like the...
Four to eight.
4 to 8.
4 to 8? Yeah.
Yeah, it's all that kale.
But I'm going to throw this out there.
So silly. Oh my God, look at that little butterfly.
What?
Why is there a little animation?
Oh, I was just about to hear.
Oh my God.
But I got to throw this out there. There is really no good and bad. And this is so much easier. There, look, like you remember your pancreas works. You know that, right?
Yeah, my pancreas?
Oh, fuck!
No. Fuck this, man.
Dude, fuck.
You guys are fucking with me. Dude, fuck you.
It still hurts.
No, I don't want to do this.
4.9. Oh, stop it. Lick it.
I'd rather. I feel like my right hand is tougher.
Maybe it'll be easier if you show him the needle first.
No, don't. No. No. Can you?
Okay, deep breath.
Okay.
Stop.
No, you missed it.
Oh yeah, you. Oh yeah.
You missed me. Oh.
There you go.
Oh. That, I actually didn't even feel it go in. That was really funny. What am I at? Oh, no, what am I at? So wait, let me just say this. Let me just say this before you say what it is.
Jeremy.
Oh, shit, dude.
Let me say one thing before you tell everyone. I have been going to the CF clinic every year. Every, like, what, 6 months, 3 months? So every 3 months? Every 3 months for years and years. And then, like, for the last 3 years, they're like, we need to test you for diabetes. And I'm like, okay, yeah, right. So what do I do? And they're like, you just drink this juice, sit for 2 hours straight, and then get a fuckload of blood work done. And I'm like, cool, I'm going to do it right now. When the clinic's over, I just go straight home. So they've been wanting me to do this for years. What's my blood sugar? I got diabetes.
Jeremy, the result of the test is that you have herpes. No, what was it? 6.8?
He was 6.8, everyone.
6.8.
Hey! And I am 16.8 right now.
Whoa, what?
Whoa.
Real life diabetes.
Whoa.
So you need some insulin like stat.
Yeah, is I it? Might give a little bit.
Can Brian give it to you?
Yeah, here.
Yay.
Okay.
This is so interactive and fun.
I was bleeding quite a bit because the needle was turned up.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Did it actually hurt you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, we were just fucking with you.
Man, no, you guys are good actors.
Jeremy, here.
He tried to touch screen this.
It's not touch screen.
Okay, so bolus. And then there's kind of like a trick, holy a child fuck. Lock.
Oh, there's a child lock.
Okay, no, manual bolus. Down
okay, here's the options. Bolus wizard.
What?
Manual bolus or insulin settings. Should we
manual
go to settings?
Bolus.
Bolus Wizard? That does sound like a band you would find on
can
someone's
iPhone. Can you go up to 4.0?
So you just, like, know that shit really well.
I just fuck with it, yeah.
Like, oh, right.
Sick Boy Podcast will be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Are you tired of hearing the same old wellness advice? It's time to dig deeper and listen to America Dissected from Crooked Media, the podcast that's cutting into the science, culture, and policy that shapes our health. From doctors fighting for their rights to the surprising truths about sunscreen, America Dissected dives deep into the state of health. Tune in every Tuesday for new episodes of America Dissected, available on all major podcast platforms.
So here's something that I'm kind of dying to know. I went back and I listened to Matt's episode to kind of just, which clearly I didn't retain any of it, because he did actually tell us some like facts and I don't think I listened. But one thing I do remember is that he said, right before he got his diabetes, he shit himself horribly. And I remember, so this was 3 years ago.
That's right.
And I remember when he said that, I was like, dude, I've never shit myself.
You haven't?
Oh, that was 3 years ago.
I was going to say, I feel...
A lot has happened.
Yeah,
a lot,
I feel like
a lot has happened.
Yeah.
Why do you think I got tushy for Christmas? from my wife. So yeah, I shit myself a bunch now. But do you shit yourself?
Is that the end of that?
Yep.
That's a great segue. Yes, I have like colleagues in here.
Shout out to colleagues.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, Michelle.
Like, because I felt like when Matt was talking, I was going, oh, is that
no,
like
you guys are
yourself?
So obsessed with the shitting thing at Matt's. Because yeah. I re-listened to you and I was like, okay.
Do you know who we are?
Yeah. Yes, I do. But like, you do know shitting yourself and diabetes, like...
Are they not linked?
Not that we know of, however...
Oh. Jeremy independently took it upon himself to bring up shitting himself.
Yeah.
He's very
I'm not
very
surprised. Yeah. Well, you know, before that I was talking about, like, damaged nerves and, like, comorbidities and stuff. So a couple years ago I was diagnosed with gastroparesis, and so it's kind of like a complication consequence of diabetes. So it's when your vagus nerve basically gets fried, and I can't digest properly anymore. So what happens is, like, any food that I eat kind of like sits in my stomach, and my stomach's like, you either need to barf this up or shit this out. And so
that was me on Friday night.
I heard you were ill. That's all I heard. But so basically that happens to me, like, all the time. So it's like anytime I eat, it's shitty because with diabetes you want to eat stuff with, like, it's shitty.
It is.
Funny, Jeremy. You want to eat stuff with, like, with diabetes, you want to eat stuff with, like, protein and fiber because it, like, levels out your blood sugar. It's like a nice, like, you know. But
big fiber fans out here.
Yeah.
Two cups of raisins.
Raisin bread.
Yes. So, but with gastroparesis, you want to have, like, white bread and shit that, like, that, like, goes through you really easily. That doesn't take a long time to digest.
Okay.
And so it's really hard because, like, I want to eat stuff that's good for my diabetes, but, and, like, it tends to be healthier foods, you know what I mean? But those aren't good for my digestion. So it's a really, it's, like, contradictory.
That's a hard place to be.
It really is a hard place to be. So, yeah, so that diagnosis was extremely hard. So, yeah, I've shit myself all over Halifax.
Where's the best place?
Abbey Lane. I go there all the time. The security guard literally is like, she's turning right. She knows where I... Yeah, that's... I shit there all the time.
You know what's really funny is I, like, since I started, like, you know... shitting myself.
Well, you got your intestines out in October. Has it been a pretty big, like, change in the amount of times you shit yourself since then?
Well, yeah. I think I pooped myself, like, maybe 3 times this year. And
yeah,
it's
January. That's average.
7th. No, I'm joking. In the last 12 months, I probably shit myself 3 times. But I have noticed that because now my relationship to shitting has changed. So has my, like, knowledge of the greatest places to shit in
yes.
the city.
Oh yeah, when you have to go, you find out.
Oh
where,
yeah.
Oh my god.
Like, you know where the solid public bathrooms are.
Yes,
yeah, of course
you do.
Yeah, Good Robot's got the best bathrooms.
I've shit there. I poop
there probably more than I poop at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you spend more time there than you spend at home.
Yep.
This is true as well.
But also, my thing is that, like, when I know someone, my partner, who held it in for, like...
Dude, you can't do that. You can't hold it in, Mark. Sorry, we're not supposed to say his name.
For, like, a week, because he's better now at pooping in public. But I'm like, because he wouldn't poop in public. I poop in public. Like, it's my fucking job.
I love it now,
but you
yeah.
know why? Because I don't have a choice.
No,
and
no.
that's why once, like, he's had to come pick me up because I, like, shit my pants. And I also have this complex, the closer I get to home...
The more you gotta shit.
I've shit myself.
It's because you know it's so
when
close.
My front steps are right there, I've done that 3 times this year. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
On,
like,
the steps?
No, well, close, so close. Like, I can see the steps. And I'm like, it's a complex, right?
You gotta train, like, your brain. You gotta be better than me.
Just like how I can reverse my diabetes, right?
You can do it.
Just go.
But you're just almost there. You're almost there.
Just stop it.
You're almost there.
It feels very good to talk about shitting like this.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's very liberating.
It's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing.
Yes.
All right, how about this? If the lights are down, I can't see any of you. By a round of applause, how many people shit themselves in the last 12 months?
Holy shit.
Really? Wow.
Nice.
Amen.
That's a lot more. I thought it was going to be like just the two people that clapped with diabetes.
Yeah, but like add like 20%.
You yeah, know there's liars. Some people who there's liars in here. Like,
I'm not gonna.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So there's a bunch of you. Wow. The theater's got a good place. The theater's a good shitter.
There's lots of stalls.
Yeah.
The other good place is nice hotel lobbies.
Yeah, because they keep them so clean. Yeah.
Brian worked in Dubai for 5 years and home to some of the nicest hotels on the planet.
I held it at home so I could get to work and go there. For sure.
So this is not a great segue, but I'm going to segue anyway.
No, yeah.
I'm going to segue into, so the reason why I played Herpy or Derpy at the top of the episode is we are pals, and I know that you have genital herpes?
Technically.
Okay, right. So you technically have genital herpes.
Yeah.
And I was like, we'll find a way to bring it into the show. Now we're doing it.
Yeah, here it is, herpes.
Here we are.
So what's, because there's like an interesting story here, right?
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
Okay.
Been waiting for this all day.
How long have you had herpes, and is it comorbid with your diabetes?
Okay. I feel like I gotta back her up a little.
Yeah, back it up. Your segue
was horrible. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're right. So we're buds, and so I said that we could... Jeremy's not, like, throwing me under the bus or anything.
No.
Becca. So I always had cold sores growing up, like always on my lips. My mom did, my family did. So I hated it. I went back and listened to Hannah's episode.
Yes.
I think, right from Out West.
It was one of our herpes episodes.
Yeah. Herpes episodes. What are you going to call this? Just live show?
Live show. Herpes, test blood.
Shitting.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Special.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
So I always had cold sores. And so like HSV-1. So there's like two strains, HSV-1 and HSV-2. So I always... had one and I hated it. Like I related to Hannah's episode a lot because she was like talking about like, you know, growing up in just the big like clusters and just like, you know, taking, it's called Valtrex, the big blue pills. Like I always, you know, I needed to get medication for it and stuff. And it really bothered me. Like I said, like I was a very like anxious child and, I hated it. Like I hated going to school with them and stuff.
Does it look like that stock image photo that I brought up? Cause when I look at that photo, the one that I was like, that actually is herpes. I'm like, does she have herpes or was that like some makeup team that came in?
No, so you can, like some people do, like my mom has had them before where it's like, you know, yeah, kind of down your face or whatever, but yeah. I've never had them like that. Like mine are just like kind of a sore and then they like, yeah, it doesn't usually look like horrible. Like I perceived it, internalized it as like horrible looking, but mine was usually just like, you know.
So like mouth zit.
Yeah, so I was, well.
Is it genetic? You said your mom had it?
I don't know. Is herpes genetic? No, thank you, folks.
Here we go.
Okay. No? It's viral.
Viral.
Cool. Cool. Viral. Okay,
listen
cool.
To this crap.
Yeah. Sweet. It is viral because, like, Valtrex, yeah, antiviral medicine. Okay, cool. So, that makes sense. There's only so much disease I can, like, keep up there, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, us too.
Yeah, yeah.
Hence, yeah. leave it there.
And so, okay, how do I explain this? So, there was a time in my life where I was, like, not having sexual encounters yet.
Yeah, I believe they, wait, yet? That's called you were a virgin.
Yeah, sure. Like, I think virgin's a stupid term, but
sure,
like.
Sure, whatever, but, but you're. Yeah.
Sorry, Jeremy. Yeah, so I was a virgin. super embarrassing, the lack of sex that I was having. Not at all, don't do it if you don't want to. So
just a PSA for all y'all out there.
Seriously though. And so, yeah, so I hadn't had sex yet or anything, or like even oral things, like all the sex things.
Yeah.
It's all sex.
I was actually with you when you did admit virgin, but go on.
Oh, I didn't know it all counted like that. Okay. So, and then one day I like felt this weird bump and I was like, fuck that. That wasn't there before. And I was like, wait, but I've never had sex or anything. And I was like, did I give myself herpes? Turns out you can give yourself herpes.
You're like the Virgin Mary of herpes? You had immaculate herpes conception?
Immaculate herpes.
wait.
But how?
Is it from the
yes,
the
so cold it's sore? So it's the strain one, but down there. So technically it's genital herpes because those are my genitals.
Right.
And those are herpes.
So is it actually technically not genital herpes?
No, it is technically genital herpes. Those are my genitals.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Genital herpes generally is referred to as HSV2.
But, right? Yes. Yeah, so,
but you have HSV1 and it trickled down to your vagina.
Yeah.
How did you... What did you do? Let's all guess.
let's all guess.
I think everybody except you knows.
I
don't think I'm as cool as you think it
you're
was.
You're like 16. No, this is going to be super
sexuality.
This is going to be super uncool. You were sitting at home. You were naked because your parents were away for the weekend, and you were like, "I'm going to be bad."
Oh, you're going into a whole story.
I'm not
going
to wear
clothes. You're really thinking about this a little too hard.
All day. And so you're just at home and you're like making pancakes and doing all this kind of stuff. And then you're like, ooh, I'm pooped from all this pancake making. And you went and laid down on your bed and then you went, achoo! And then you gave your pussy herpes. Is that it?
That sounds way cooler than what I could ever come up with. And it was really, well, it's funny now looking back, but I remember being at the, like, my healthcare provider's office, and because I had, like, a lesion or whatever, right? Because the thing about, like, all those pictures of the herpes and stuff is that usually, like, there's so many people probably in this room who don't even know they have, like, herpes one or two or, you know, herpes in general. Because, it, like, you don't always notice. It doesn't always look like that.
No.
Or whatever.
I actually had originally, I had the, like, when the last photo, which was the herpes, I had another photo, and then I chose not to use it because I the whole point of that was to go, hey, herpes, it's not like that crazy.
No,
it's not that crazy. But the photo that I originally had was, it was just not a good photo.
Yeah.
It
just, it, like, I
the herpes
see you
didn't
doing
look bad,
that.
But the lighting was awful.
Yeah. I could see
that's like
yeah.
Google images for anything medical ever.
Like did you see all your images?
Anything, you're just like, everything always looks yellow.
Turn the flash off.
Yeah.
What's wrong
a
with
a dark
you?
Room yeah. with the flash off.
I was
on.
Listening yeah. back to the hepatitis C episode the other day, and we're talking about the. What's the when you Google it and the thing shows up in the top right corner?
Oh, there's like a little WebMD sort of.
No, it's not WebMD, but it's something else like that. But anyway, the picture shows up and the guy with hepatitis C had like track marks down his arm.
Was,
like,
yeah, it was
a
just
a gnarly
yeah.
goatee.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Stuff.
Yeah, like, yeah, it was very stigmatic.
It's just like here's a stick. Were you gonna say?
I was
stigmatic?
Gonna say stigmatic, and then I was like, no, that's. Just, that, I believe that's when.
The devil takes over
it's
your body.
It's when you start bleeding from your hands and your feet. Something to do with Christ. So do
that's
you,
not what happened.
Virgin
to you.
Mary over here.
So do you think you do you really is that like is do we know for sure you gave yeah. yourself your own herpes?
I definitely was a virgin. Yes,
right,
and.
Right.
So they swabbed the lesion, and it came back, and it was HSV-1. And before the doctor, the healthcare provider, was like, one in a million chance.
This,
oh, yeah. I can, like, remember it very vividly, being like, this would never happen. This doesn't happen. Or, like, it can happen, but it would never happen. And then he was just like, you got the herpes. And I was like, fuck.
The doctor said you got the herpes?
That's how I also pictured it in my head. I think I was, like, blacking out a little because I was, like, didn't really know what was going on because I was like, I would give myself herpes.
Yeah.
How? Like
this is – and the so the lesson of this entire story is
– don't give yourself
cover your
herpes.
Fucking mouth when you sneeze.
Yeah.
Or cough.
Yeah, sure.
If there's one takeaway.
If there's
tonight,
one takeaway.
That's it.
Yeah. Oh my God. So how's your diabetes now?
Yeah.
It's a good question. Like, how are you managing your diet? Well, actually, what's your blood sugar at now?
Don't ask me that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is it like, yeah, like how that was like 10 minutes ago. How
so
long,
insulin
how
takes
quick?
At least like 15 minutes to like hit you.
Start kicking.
And then it's like at its peak at about 2 hours. So it takes it a while to like come back down.
So it's probably the same still.
Yeah, it's around the same. But
A question that I wanted to ask you earlier was when you were younger and you were basically going, I didn't really take care of myself that well. Did that period allow you? Did that help you now understand better how to take care of yourself? Because I know you like you're at conferences and you speak and like you kind of it's part of your work.
You're a pretty big patient advocate.
Yeah,
we actually were at the same conference in Ottawa where we were speaking.
Yeah.
You were there as a
patient.
Yeah, we were presenting like some of our work from Nova Scotia.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, is that experience of knowing what it was like to really not take care of yourself and take care of your diabetes at that time, did that lead to you having like a really great understanding of how to do it and want to be a patient advocate now?
I think it was definitely like one piece of the puzzle. But when I look back, I realize like, I can't only blame myself. Like, it's really easy just to blame yourself, but that's why I really got interested in like the health system and how our health services work, or the relationship between like patients and providers. Because I think a lot of, say, those relationships between myself and my providers had a huge impact on how I took care of myself, or the access to care, or the access to medication, or the access to like other people with diabetes, or social groups, or like things you need. So like, yeah, there were parts of me, there were some like decisions I did make where I did not take care of myself. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle that I think contributed to that. And that's why I'm such a big advocate now about how we can maybe like improve our healthcare system or the healthcare services for people with diabetes.
What would you say if like, and this is probably going to be a really tough question, but what would you say is like the number one thing if we were to, if something was to change in the healthcare system in general, like what's the one thing that you would be like, this has got to fucking change?
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's really hard to pick one thing. But I think what's really stuck with me lately is just not to play the, like, shame and blame game. That really fucked me up as a kid. Like, you know, always getting blamed for not doing, you know, good enough, basically. Or with diabetes, it's always numbers-based, right? So your numbers were always, like, good or bad. And you're always getting your blood test results. And you're always being judged by people around you.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I get that. Like,
as a patient, you would know that. Yeah, and it's not only tough on the patient, it's really tough on the family or the, you know, the parents or the people taking care of you and stuff. And so I think that's one thing, is that relationship between providers and patients and how we can, and once again, I'm not blaming providers. I think there's a lot we can do in the healthcare system to help providers take care of patients as well. I don't want to blame them either, but I think just building that relationship to help people, it's I know kind of like shared decision making is kind of a very popular term right now, but I really believe it should be like a partnership between the patient and the providers. I think that's the only way we can move forward. Because, you know, with chronic illness, like, once again, it's not just like taking your medication, you're all okay. You're like, I'm going to have diabetes for the rest of my life. I'm going to have gastroparesis for the rest of my life. I'm having herpes for the rest of my life, so on and so on. And so how can we make it better for me and other patients to like live the best life we can? And that's what I look for now. It's like, how can I keep doing better? And so I think that relationship between providers and patients.
On the other side, have you seen any changes happen in the past few years that you're really proud to see take shape?
Like kind of in the healthcare system?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I was diagnosed, diagnosed 19 years ago, the doctor told you what to do. There was no talking about what you're going to do or how you're, you know, what you're going to do with your numbers or how this could impact you. You were told exactly what to do. And I've seen that shift over time. And I think providers are realizing that the patient will want to do the work. They'll want to put input in if they can have that input in the first place. And so I think that there has really been a shift. And I think that's helped by different, you know, even different funding agencies and stuff now, they're making it requirements to have patients involved in health research. They're making it requirements to incorporate the patient voice and everything. So I kind of do see that shift. And I think it's genuine. And so, and I hope to see that continue.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a huge theme on our show since day one, that going into creating the show, we had no idea about, and we were just sitting around, you know, trying to have fun. Mm-hmm. And it emerged really quickly, like that there was a lot of either things where people wanted a better dialogue between the people that they're getting their care from, or a really great experience. Like, you know, you see everything on all across the spectrum, but it's been such a huge theme in our show. You know, it's very easy to tell that it's a huge part of the experience of being sick.
Yeah, and I think it's like, it's sometimes hard to explain to people. And I think, like I said, everyone's experience is valuable. Like, even if you do only go to your family doctor to get prescriptions like twice a year, I think that there's still something to say about that experience. But for some of us who are seeing healthcare providers like twice a month, once a week, whatever, like they're part of our circle of people. Mm-hmm. And you want your friends to be nice to you. You want people to understand you. And that's what we ask of our healthcare providers. Can you just be empathetic? can you at least try to, you know, you don't have to agree with me all the time. I don't have to agree with you, but like, let's at least try to work together. And so
I think we just start inviting our doctors to our birthday.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bound to happen.
You know? I was at your birthday recently.
Come to my birthday and everything will be better.
Jeremy, we went to Cosmic Bowling and he won Bingo. We went to bingo on his birthday and he won $100.
Thank you.
I think that's a perfect.
It was pretty epic. It was pretty epic. Much.
Cosmic bingo is crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. You should go.
I was a little intoxicated, and I was sitting there going, holy shit, guys, I only need two more. I need B5 and
it was like 0.73.
And they're like, dude, B5 was the first one called. And I went, oh my God, I need one more. And then the next number was the one I needed.
We were about to kick you out of the table because we were like, fuck, Jeremy's annoying at this.
I think this is a really great opportunity because Jeremy's birthday was 2 days ago. I think that it'd be really cool if we just sang him happy birthday right now.
Oh, that's dumb.
What do you think? Should we do that?
Yeah,
we could do that.
All right.
Taylor, hold on. Will start.
Do we know happy birthday?
Like, what do you say that? Okay, fine.
You must know happy birthday. You're all right, everybody. The band will know. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jeremy. Happy birthday to you. Ladies and gentlemen. You'll never hear it any better than that.
That was so brutally beautiful. Thank you. Thank you all so much. It feels good to be another year older. And congratulations to the three of you for also being alive.
Appreciate that.
I'm gonna ask you the question that we ask all of our guests on the show, which the first one is, what would you say is the biggest thing that your experience with everything that you've gone through in your life, you know, illness-related only, please, Sick Boy Podcast.
Or pooping.
Illness.
What would you say is the biggest thing that this experience has taken away from you?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I should have like prepped more for this because I've obviously...
Yeah, you knew this question was coming.
Yeah, I knew this was coming.
It was
coming.
Literally the only question that you knew was coming.
Yeah, fuck. I know, I thought, I'm like I said, Advan, all that thing. So I'm very organized and stuff. And Jeremy was like, we're not prepping. No questions. I was like, fuck,
here's
okay.
a secret.
Okay.
Okay, if you think about the question, he asked, what is the biggest thing this has taken from you? Okay. You can just think about your own life. And think about what that thing is, and then speak it.
Oh my God!
Oh, that would be.
I literally.
Jesus Christ!
Groundbreaking advice.
That would be the answer.
I think you confused me more. Like just like.
That was really the most. That was the rudest thing you've ever said.
Yeah.
But like, I ain't mad at it.
My pancreas.
I was trying to speak really slowly to buy you the time so you can think of that. And you weren't
so basically like the negative side of
Like what's the biggest thing it's taken from you?
Like probably 30 years off my life. No, oops, you, sorry.
True.
That was the rudest thing I ever said on the podcast.
I'm gonna get an award.
That was a good one.
Mean.
That was a good one.
That was good. Yeah.
It's all in friendship.
My mom is now crying.
I know.
Thanks a lot. It's okay,
Tom's
mom.
Looking
it's
at
okay.
Me like, I think something that I guess I've focused on recently, and especially it like happened since the seizures and like the gastroparesis diagnosis and all those things, is that it's gonna get sad, or maybe not sad. I feel like I've lost kind of like a sense of spontaneity. With diabetes, you always have to be prepared for anything that can ever happen. You know, Matt said, you're always bringing your bag of shit with you. Like, everyone sees me with 5 million bags, right? Because it's like my blood test stuff, my insulin stuff. Like, what if, you know, that kind of thing. And it sucks because I feel like when I wasn't taking care of my diabetes, that was really bad for my health. But I feel like I was more adventurous. So I'm not saying that's not possible. There's tons of people like thriving with diabetes, but it's something that I'm slowly like learning how to get back into. So I don't think it's like something that's been totally taken away, but it's been taken away for now until I like learn again how to be myself and how to like live a life like, you know, go To the commons. I don't know. What do people do for fun?
To the commons. To the commons.
Yeah. I mean, just stay away from Quimpool and you're winning.
One day, yeah. One day we'll get to the commons. Yeah. It'll be a big deal.
Whatever the kids do these days for fun.
It wasn't sad until you said that.
I know.
Yeah.
I'll get to the commons one day.
Well, you said you were a very organized person. So, yeah. Are you organized because of the diabetes, or is the diabetes easier to manage because you're organized?
I think I'm like grew up type A, or like I think I grew up with anxiety, but then
I love how you switch that from type A to anxiety.
Super anxious child. But I think like the diabetes just made me like even more like. Everything had to be, you know, you always had to be organized with your diabetes and prepared for things. And like when you're diagnosed with a chronic disease at a very young age, you like have to grow up very fast. You have to mature very fast. Like all of a sudden you're taking care of your body. You're taking care of yourself. Like, you know, so I think there's a mix of that. I think my anxiety meshed with my diabetes is just like not good. But Ativan, super relaxing. What up?
Ativan, super relaxing.
What would you say is the biggest thing that it's given you?
Oh, so many things. There's a lot of positive things like this and the friendships that I made with other people with diabetes. Getting to speak to people and hopefully similar to you folks is like, I wish I could have heard this kind of stuff when I was younger. It's really inspiring to be able to hear people speak so openly and like about different diseases or illnesses or whatever, because you do feel alone so often, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like these opportunities, the privilege that I've been given to, I always say patients have a voice, but we need a platform, mm-hmm. right? Like people are always like, patients need the voice. I'm like, we have voices. Like you will hear us yelling, but give us platforms. So I'm very thankful for all the platforms that I've been given to speak about a lot of these issues that I feel are like very important. I think it's made me very appreciative of things. Mm-hmm. You know, I realize that like it takes a lot more to get my body like moving every day and working every day. And so I try to like really appreciate that. So...
Well, I want to...
And free passes at Wonderland.
What?
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
Why wasn't that
Do
the
I
first
get
thing?
This?
And missing grade 9 French class. Oh, I use diabetes as an advantage all the time.
That's
I'm like,
good.
Yeah, Wonderland, you're like, oh, I got to go at the front of the line. Like, shit might happen.
Yeah.
I got to look into this. We were talking about going to Disneyland. If I can score some free passes,
do it.
Sweet.
Were we talking about going to Disneyland?
Well, not you.
I mean me and my wife.
Yeah. I thought...
I just assume when you say we, you always mean you and
you
I.
You and me?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that you got like a children's wish or something, but you didn't.
No, I'm not Jeremy, but...
No. Yeah, I fucking wasted mine anyway.
I know.
How much better does this look than Jeremy's wish?
I was going to ask you about that, actually.
Win the ultimate NHL road trip.
So yeah, actually, well, okay, this is a good... We're going to wrap the show up, but this is a good segue. My dad's selling these tickets. This has nothing to do with diabetes.
Also, Taylor's dad's selling Hershey's chocolate bars for $2 too, so you can buy those from him as well.
My old man's right here, but he's going to be at Good Robot after this. You are now. Sorry. So if you want to buy tickets, they're $10 a ticket, and if you
it's not a fundraiser.
What is it
it's
for?
Directly in his pocket.
No, it is a fundraiser. It goes to CF Canada, and you could win a crazy trip to see 3 NHL games in 3 nights.
CF Canada. So cons fund
the guy down here with the dad hat. You can
with
buy
the
those
dad.
Well, that was a horribly perfect segue into saying I want to say thank you for taking the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. For taking the time. For taking the time to sit down in front of a large audience and share your experience. And like this is the thing that I think makes this show really important for a lot of people is hearing other people's experience and how they deal with the hardships that they're going through. I mean, we're talking about illness most of the times, if not every single time. there's the odd special episode here and there, but yeah.
It's pretty consistent.
It's not just about, you know, this is just a mask for us to show how important it is to actually just be vocal about anything that we find challenging or hard in our lives. And so it wouldn't exist if it weren't for people like you who sit down on the fourth mic to share that experience with us. And just as important is all of you who show up to these events and who subscribe and listen to this every week. Because none of this shit would matter if there wasn't someone on the other end who's actually taking the time and the making the choice to listen. So thank you, but also thank all of you for showing up tonight. Give yourselves a round of applause. Thank you.
Yeah.
With that, I will say two things. Number one, at 9:30, I think Mary Poppins is playing in here.
So
we gotta get the fuck out of here.
That's in 22 minutes.
And number two, we're not gonna end this here. I mean, we are, but if you wanna continue, we're gonna head straight over to Good Robot. They've been gracious enough to open up their new secret upstairs bar and also their, you know, their regular bar.
It can fit all of you.
Sort of. So if you all go, you not all get in, but let's just, who knows? Let's see what happens. So we would love to have a drink with you if you want to hang out. Let's have a drink at Good Robot.
On Jeremy.
On me. Yeah, it's all on me. Thank you for that. But again, thank you all so much for coming in. And we actually did. We were told right before we started, they're like, you gotta get the fuck out of here. 9:30, Mary Poppins, what's up? So
said it like that.
So
if
we
you
love
watch
you.
It, stay.
Thank you for coming out, Halifax. We fucking love this city. This podcast would not be what it is without you.
Absolutely.
My name is Jeremy. I'm Jeremy.
That's not how it goes, usually, but...
Oh, fuck. How do we end the show?
I can't remember. You say something like, that's it for today. Or
that's it for
like
today.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Kylie.
And this is Sick Boy. All right. Who thinks this is a herpy? Who thinks this is a derpy? I'm regretting this. It's a pimple on my butt.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.